Rabbeinu Yonah points out in his parish to Masechtas Avos regarding the importance of beginning to learn at a young age. And although it is true that a person can achieve at any age, it's never too late. However, there is something special to be said about starting to learn at a young age. And he puts that also into the words when the Mishnah says in the first parik, Masechtas Avos, it says, Imloy achshav emosai. Very well known phrase. If not now, then when? What does that mean? If not now, then when? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, first of all, he starts out that a person shouldn't say, Ani hayoy mosuk b'malachti. A person shouldn't say, today I have certain tasks to perform. And therefore, lemochar efnet. Tomorrow I'll make time in order to learn. Tomorrow I'll make time in order to study. Kishem aloy tipon, as we know, because maybe you'll never find the time. The time is now. Vafilim tipon, and even if you find the time, but the truth is, finding time tomorrow, really today, is lost. Because the day that you lost, when it comes to learning, he says you can never make it up. Because tomorrow is a new day, and therefore there is more to learn. So it's never, really, when it comes to studying, when it comes to acquiring knowledge, this is not really a concept of making it up. It's only making it up if there's something specific only that you're focusing on. Don't do it today, maybe I'll study that subject matter tomorrow. But that's not the way a person learns Torah. You have to acquire knowledge as much as you can throughout a lifetime. And therefore, a day that's lost is really lost, because tomorrow is not making up for the day before. Tomorrow is utilized for that day. And so on each and every day. So therefore, Imlo yachshav emosai. Therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if you don't take advantage today, then when? You're going to learn tomorrow. Tomorrow can't make up for today. Because tomorrow, you need it for tomorrow. So the study of tomorrow is for tomorrow's day. So Imlo yachshav, if you don't really take advantage of the time now, Amosai, when are you going to do it? You won't be able to do it. You have to take advantage immediately. And then he goes on to say that the oid yesh bechlal ze haloshin. He says, in addition, what also is included in the loshin of imlayachshav emosai, which means to say, if not now, while you're still young. Because later, the later is always older. As much later as you go, of course, it is that much older that you are. The earlier that you do anything, it means you're that much younger. So im loyachshav, doing something today, as opposed to tomorrow, means you are at least a day younger. The notion is that a person should try to learn and take advantage of his youth. And everything, of course, is relative, but the idea is as young as possible. He says, im adzikna v'seva yanichena, if a person leaves it for his old age, okay, I'm going to study when I retire. He says, that's when I'm going to do it. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you will not achieve the same way. You will not accomplish. And he goes on to point out another posik in Tehillim that way. It's an interesting posik in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Dalet. The posik says, Asher Boneinu, our children are kinetiim, are like young saplings. Our children are like netiim, are like young saplings, mugudolim minureim, like young saplings that are being cultivated and are being developed in order to allow them to grow. So Rabbeinu Yonah points out the comparison that the Pasuk says, that our children are like netiim, that our children are like saplings. He says, you notice, if you have any idea a little bit about farming, he says, when you plant young saplings, when a child is young, you are able still to shape him and to mold him. He's still ready, he's pliable, he's still flexible, does not yet really have a full mind of his own, and you're able, therefore, to inculcate and really teach him the real differences between right and wrong. He says it's similar. Similarly, he says when you're planting a sapling, a young trees now sometimes have a tendency to bend this way, that way. While they're still young, you can straighten them out. You can have ideas, there are ways to tie it and so on and so forth, add something, a piece of wood. You're able to straighten it out. But once a tree already was allowed to grow in a crooked fashion and it becomes thicker and becomes stronger, then it's already has achieved a sense of permanency. Once a tree is already fully grown, you cannot change it anymore. That's the way it is. You can't bend it. The Pasuk in Tehillim points out that our children, our kinetim, are like young saplings. Young trees, young saplings still allow themselves to be bent to the right, to be bent to the left, straighten them up, and so on and so forth. You still have the ability to direct it. He says, Achla acha shegodal bimkoimoi. Once a tree already has grown, you allowed it to grow in its place, He says, or be'ikumoi, mean crooked. Once a tree has been allowed to mature in a crooked way, heyoisoi kosher, being that now it is hard, it's very difficult, he says, lesaken, to be mesaken, to correct it. Becheno odom boidoi kotm, so to a person while he is young, bekal hu liyois bederach toiv. It's still quite easy in order to change him, velosum and ara, and to remove him from ways of evil, and to turn him on the right path, on the way of good. Avam hiskin berishoi, but if someone became old, right, doing things that are bad, habits are very difficult to change, he says, kosher be'ein of lahanicha. Very difficult for a person doing something for many, many years to abandon it, all of a sudden to take on a new direction in life. Quite difficult. And that's what it means, chanoich lenar al pidarkoi, gam kiyazkin lo yosu memenu. Teaching him as a nar, teaching him why he's still young, so then he will hopefully stay on that path even in old age. But if he starts old, he says, it's quite difficult already to change a person. Let me just point out another thing that he says has also something to do with memory. When you are young, your mind is young, and therefore it absorbs. Knowledge that a person learns when he's young will stay with him. When you newly knowledge, acquired at an advanced age, the memory is not the same anymore. And he points out, at kedekach, to the extent, says Rabbeinu Yoin, it is, to give you an example, he says, in ways that we can really pinpoint it, is the difference between learning while you're young as opposed to learning at old age. He says, the Torah, haloi me Torah liyelid, when you're teaching Torah to a young person, lomu hu doime, he says, it is doime kipsuach al ha'evin. V'haloi me Torah lizokein, doime kipsuach al ha'choil. I want you to imagine, if you have a rock, and then you take a tool, you take an implement, and you take a tool, and you begin to carve out letters. The letters that you carve out on a rock are going to be there forever. I mean, unless you break the rock. But imagine doing the exact same thing. Instead of carving letters on a rock, you go onto a beach, you go into a pile of sand. You can also carve out letters. But we know that has no kiyum. There's no sustainability. And pretty soon, of course, it's not going to last at all. Ben Yoni goes out to point out the vast difference of learning while you're young. When you're learning while you're young, it's like carving something on a rock. When you carve something in stone, that remains. It's a permanent thing. But when you teach and you try to learn something at an old age, yes, and he goes on to say, that doesn't mean that old age, don't begin to learn. He says, you should never stop from pursuing study, pursuing knowledge, you should always. However, you should realize, given the choice, and if you have the good sense, don't wait until you're really older, take the advantage now. He says, learning at an advanced age is like, he says, carving out letters on sand, as opposed to carving out letters on stone. That's the extreme difference, he says, between teaching Torah, learning while you are young, as opposed to waiting at an old age. So these are very interesting things that Rabbeinu Yonah tells us. And let me just conclude with Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Igeres HaTshuva. It's called the Letter of Tshuva. And Rabbeinu Yonah offers the following instructions. He says that a woman should be careful to daven in the morning, he says, or whenever she davens during the day, he says, and toward the end of her davening, whenever she davens, whenever. But towards the end of her prayers, he says, at the end of her davening, she should daven mainly that her sons and daughters grow to be God-fearing. They should be Yir Shamayim. There's a woman should take advantage at the end of her tefillahs. Whether she davens shachar, as a matter of fact, he says, whether it's morning, afternoon, or night. It doesn't make a difference. Shachar is mincha ma'ariv. At the end of the tefillah, says Rabbeinu Yonah, a woman should conclude her tefillahs, her davening, with a special tefillah. The special tefillah that her sons and daughters should be Yir Shamayim, and also that her sons should be successful in their Torah learning. This is something that a mother should take advantage while she's davening, to conclude her tefillahs with these bakoshes. And it goes on to say the following, I quote, Rabbeinu Yonah says, because a woman earns her primary schus in Olam Haba, her primary schus that she earns in the world to come, is when her sons and daughters serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, carry out His will, and fear Him. So it goes on further to say, and he concludes. He says, finally, ultimately, when we meet our Maker, he says, when she finds herself in her eternal dwelling place, he says, and her children who are still here on this world, their hearts are filled with Yir Shamayim, with fear of Hashem, and they learn Torah, and they perform mitzvahs, it's considered that she was still alive. As if she was still alive and she was actually doing them herself. So now that she's in the next world, she can't physically do it herself. But the fact that her children are following in her footsteps, Thereby, it is as if that she is alive and performing the mitzvahs herself. And she is thereby, he says, greatly elevated to a higher level, continuous higher level in Olam Haba. That's what we say many times, the neshama should have an aliyah. Which means that the neshama is capable of going higher and higher and basking in the glory of Hashem in the world to come. So this is another nekudah that Rabbeinu Yonah points out, that davening should also be not just for our own bakoshes, but to take advantage, to be mispalel always for the success of our children. As a matter of fact, the Yid came to ask Atzloche, a broker from the Stipler, regarding most of Atzloche, his children should be Tamid HaChachamim. And one of the things Stipler says, he says, with the bracha it's not going to happen, he says. The bracha it's not going to happen. But you as a father should make sure that you continue to daven every day for the success that your children become, Yerushamayim, they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ibn Atzliach in learning. And then he pointed out, he said, my son Chaim, he said, I still daven for him every day, should be Tam Chochem. Chaim already was about 40 years old, and he was already a Boki Bishas at that time. And the disciples said, didn't stop davening for him. Did not stop davening that he should be a Talmud Chochem. He was more than a Talmud Chochem already. You never stop davening for the success of your children in Avodas Hashem, and in other things too. But this is very essential, and it's very, very basic. So now we go to the Shari Tshuva, where we're up to. We actually were in the middle of Sif Lamed Aleph, in the middle of Venemar. The middle of Venemar, Posik Mishle Litavo Yevakesh Nifrod. It's a very interesting posik and a very interesting interpretation that the Shari Tshuva offers. All right, we're in the middle of Sif Lamed Aleph in Shari Rishon. Okay, says Rabbeinu Yonah further. Rabbeinu Yonah points out again, this is the principle why he's still discussing, that one of the mainstay of a Bala Tshuva is to adapt control, self-control, in terms of indulging in the world of pleasure. A person has to be able to control himself. So he quotes a posik in Mishle. In Mishle, the posik says, "Listavo yevakesh nifrod, bechol tushio yizgalo." Now, the little translation, it's not a simple posik. Rashi has one pshat, and the other, Mefarshim on Nach, also has a different pshat. Rashi pshat basically is, Litaivo yevakish nifrod. It means, if a person separates himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nifrod means to separate oneself. So Rashi says in Mishle, if a person separates himself from Hashem, he's going to be forced to fall into the clutches of the world of pleasure. There's no way that a person can really exercise proper control without a spiritual strong component in his life. Only if a person is connected to Ruchnius, then he will really have the ability to abstain, to withdraw, control. But the Pasuk says, Litaiva Yevakesh Nifrod. Like Litaiva Yevakesh Kama Nifrod. He will pursue Taiva, who? Nifrod. The person who separated himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Litaiva Yevakesh. So again, a person who separates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will pursue Taiva. And at the end of the day, Bechol Tushio Yizgalo. Which means to say is that his disgrace will ultimately be revealed, because he'll find himself in the company of Talmidei Chachamim and people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he will notice the difference of their lifestyle, how they live a lifestyle of control. And then he will compare his own lifestyle to their lifestyle. So obviously then it'll hit him home to see that obviously he went wrong somewhere. Bechol Tushio Yizgalo, which means to say is that his disgrace will be revealed. Yizgal, although it's with an ayin, but it's pointed out in the Mefarshim Tanakh, it's even a hey is at the end. Yizgalo, loshin gilui. It will be revealed. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah has a totally different interpretation of this posik. The way we explain this, so we just appreciate, you have one posik, and to see how the different ways of looking at a posik. We're now focusing on the first three words of the posik. Letaiva yevakesh nifrod. So again, the pshat that Rashi says in these words, Letaiva yevakesh nifrod means, the Letaiva Yevakesh, a person will pursue Taiva, who? Who is that person? Nifrod. The person who separated himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be a Mevakesh Taiva. The upshot, the consequence of a Nifrod, the consequence of a person who separates himself from Hashem, you'll be in the clutches of your Yetzer Hara, you'll be under control. The Yetzer Hara will dominate you. You'll be a person who's Mevakesh Taiva. Shari Tshuva has another interpretation. Pirish. You know what the posik means, these three words. Letaiva yevakesh nifrod. You know what it means? It means this following. Mishu mevakesh loleches achar tavosei ritzoinoi. A person who has a desire to follow his taivis, a person who pursues taiv, a person who pursues desire, every means of pleasure, right? He wants it, he pursues it, and indulges in it. He exercises no self-control. He's a pursuer of taiva. You know what the consequence is? Learns Shar Tshuva. Nifrod means mikol chaver ve'omis. It means that he will separate himself from society, from having real true friends. Rabbi Yonah tells us the following. A person to be successful in making friends around him, a circle of friends, cannot be a person who is in unto himself. A person whose focus in life, it's all about himself. It's all about I, me, and myself. People around him sense that. And Rabbi Yonah says that the Pasuk is telling us that a person who's a mavakish taiva, nifrit, he will be in a certain sense, he'll be ostracized from society. Yeah, people may, you know, be his acquaintances. People may appear to be his friends because of the interest, the self-interest that they have, maybe what they can get from him, but they will not really be his friend. Someone who is into taiva, someone who is into self-pleasure, this is being sensed by people around him, and they will separate themselves from him, from really being his true friend. Let's see the words again. One who is a mevakesh to follow his taivis and his ritzoinis and his wants, everything I want, I must have. Nifrod mikol chover ve'omis. Omis loshen amisoi. Right? He will be separated from any chaver, from any chavrusa, from any friendship. Ki yirachku mimenu oyhav v'reya. And oyhav v'reya, friends, will separate themselves from him. Why? Because if you're into taiva, you realize not everybody has the same taivas that you are. And therefore, if the focus of your life is only what you want, it means you don't care what anybody else wants. The fact is that people have different wants. No two people are alike. And if a person's into taiva, that means he really is not concerned with what somebody else wants. He's concerned in what he wants. If he's only concerned about what he wants, and other people have different wants, have other wants, they will not be able to really coexist with him. Because he has no interest in anybody else, in their wants, helping them out in there, but only for himself. So this is what the Pasuk is saying. Kitavas ben yodom, says the Shaar HaTshuva. Because the fact is that the taiva, the desires of people, of humankind, umidoisam and their midois chalukois. People have different desires. People have different taivas. Ein ritzoinu shalze, ki ritzoinu shalze. The rotzen of one is not the same as the rotzen of somebody else. So therefore, says the Pasuk, if you're a person who's a mavakish taiva, nifrod, your friends will separate themselves from you, or you will become separate from them. That's the kavon of the posik, litava yevakish. Ochen, however, im yelech bederech, he says, haskel, but a person is guided by his seichel, by his intellect, not by his taiva. If you don't allow taiva, desire, to direct your life, but a person's yelech bederech haskel, but he follows the derech of seichel, then os yischabru lo yachaverim. Then just the opposite, he will attract people, he will attract friendship. V'yiu oyhav of rabim, he'll have many oyhavim. He'll have many people who really befriend him. V'yomru ba Musar, it is said in the words of Musar, there is a phrase, there is a concept in the world of Musar, that miyushu horoitze es midoisov, a person who's really concerned to refining his midos, to refining his character, rabu ha-koif tzimolov. In other words, the more that you work on your character, the more friends you'll really have, because people will appreciate you. People will recognize that you are a special person. You're not just like anybody else. And people will recognize the milas that you have. So a person who's righteous midos, a person really who is interested in refining his midos, by the same token, rabu ha-koif tzimolov, you'll have all that many more people who are going to be interested to become connected with him. So that is one idea, letava yevakesh nifrod. And then he goes further, he says, v'yesh lefarish aloha inyan hazeh b'yatzimoy. There's also, one can interpret the same posik, the same way, but just in the opposite way. What is he going to try to add in the opposite way? He's trying to say as follows. The first way that we just learned is, that a person who is a pursuer of taiva, the consequences of that is nifrod. That's how we said it, letava yevakesh, a person who is a pursuer of taiva, nifrod. That means that this is going to cause, clearly, is going to cause him to be separated from a circle of friends, from a real good circle of friends. What about the opposite? If you see someone who is separated from society, what maskona are you supposed to reach at? You know, what conclusion are you reaching at? It's So the other way too. In the same way, if you start from A going to B, from B you can go back to A also. Meaning, A, if you see someone who's a Baal Taiva, the end result is Nifrod. The opposite also. If you see someone is isolated from his friends, you can possibly assume that he's a Baal Taiva. So Nifrod means that he's a Baal Taiva. You know someone is a Baal Taiva, you know what's coming next. Next is Nifrod. It's going to cause him to be separated from society. The opposite also. If you see somebody who's a Nifrod, if you see somebody who is separated from society, it's because Tava Yavakish, because he was interested in pursuing Taiva. That's what he says in the second pshat. That it goes in both directions. Therefore, he says further, L'taiva yivakesh nifrod, means as follows, he says now, that ish nifrod, we're starting out from the other side, if you see a person that's a nifrod, you see a person that is separated from society, mikol och v'choder, somehow people don't want to associate with him. People don't really want to befriend him. L'taiva hu mevakesh, that's an indication that he is a pursuer of taiva. U'bavur she mevakesh l'oleches achritzoinoi, and being that he is a person who wants to follow his wants and his needs, l'man zois mere'eyu rochaku memenu. Therefore, people see there's no quality here. There's no reason to stay with him. What is it going to be? People don't find that there's nothing to be gained from such a friendship. What is to be gained with a friendship of a person who's only into himself? There's nothing to be gained. What kind of friend would that be? He's a friend of himself. And he just might be using other people. That's all. So they will just separate themselves from him if he's a person who's a pursuer of taiva. Ke'inyan, similarly, we find another aspect, another case, we find, this is unfortunate, but society, the next one is really not the fault of anybody, but it's a Pasuk in Mishlei that says, this is also a true fact. Whether it's a person's fault or not, but sometimes society creates their own standards, and the Pasuk says in Mishlei, V'dol mereyeyu yiparet. Unfortunately, when people see somebody who turned poor, they separate themselves. People like to befriend people who are rich, people who are upstanding society, people are high ranking. Matter of fact, the Pasuk in Mishlei says something else. He says, the Oisher, someone who struck it rich, all of a sudden, he says, people never wanted to talk to him. People didn't want to associate. All of a sudden, they become his friends. And the opposite is also, a person who had a lot of friends, but you know what? But then he lost his fortune. He doesn't know why, but people are just shying away from him. People just staying away from him. People that he thought were good friends, all of a sudden, they're not interested in him. By the way, they were never real friends to begin with. That's the whole point. Vidol, somebody who's poor or became poor, as the Pasuk says there in Mishlei, Vidol mere'ehu yiparet, which means he will become separated from friendship of other people due to the fact that he's poor. That's all. He just became poor. But in the eyes of society, this is not a person that's kedai to have a friend. It's not kedai to be my friend. We don't want to associate with him. So the opposite also, well, if you are rich, you'll gain friendship, the Pasuk says. But Ben Yonah tells us that a person who is a Nifrod is L'taiva Yavakish. Poverty is one thing that can cause it. But more than anything, he says, it's L'taiva Yavakish Nifrod. He says the fact is that a person is a pursuer of Taiva, a person who is a pursuer of worldly pleasure, no control over his life, then Yiparet. Point is Nifrod. Now, the ending of the Pasuk, remember the last three words of that pasuk that we started. It started again with Latava Yevakish Nifrod, and then it said Bechol Tushio Yizgalo. He pointed out that his disgrace will be revealed. But there's also another meaning of these words. Again, Bechol, somebody who is a Baal Taiva. What does the pasuk conclude? Bechol Tushio Yizgalo. That was a pasuk we mentioned before. Rabbi Yoyna mentioned it as we started this year today. He says as follows: Bechol Tushio Yizgalo. You know what it means? It means as follows. When someone is a Baal Taiva, as Rabbi Yoyda pointed out, as we mentioned in the previous year, a Baal Taiva, someone who is a pursuer of pleasure, that becomes the Siba, that becomes the first cause, not just for one Aveira. A person who is lack of control within his lifestyle, then Taiva becomes a Siba for all Aveiras. There's nothing really that will stand in the way to control himself. Because if Taiva is what dominates his life, so a person shouldn't say, you know what, I have no control, but you know what, I'm just going to maybe slip in one area. If you're not a person who has control of wants and needs in general, then you're just going to slip all over the place. In other words, Bechol Tushio Yizgale, Ha'hoylech Acher Tavosoi, a person who is a follower after Taive, Loi Bedover Echot Yechto Bilvad. Don't think that it's only detrimental in one area of sin. Ach, he says, however, he says, b'chol zois hat shebetayra yizgalo. Yizgalo again means revealed. But it means it'll come up. It'll come up in every area of Torah. Ki yavar al kulono. But he'll be over on kol ha-Torah kula. Bekitzer, because there's taiva in every area. And Amela, if there is taiva, this is going to bring him to sin. By the way, the very first sin with the Eitz Hadas, with Adam Rishon, with the Nochash, how does the Pasuk say? What when the Nochash tried to persuade or entice Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas? The lotion of the Pasuk is, if you realize, what caused her to slip? Vateira ho'isho, ki toiv ho'eitz l'machol v'chitav ho'hi le'naim. So the very first sin started out because of taiva. Vateira ho'isho, she saw. Right, she saw the tree, and then she began to desire it, says the Pasuk. She saw it's good to eat. The chitayva is desirous. It's desirous. And therefore she succumbed to that. That was the very first sin. That was the cause of the very first sin. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us that this is not just the cause, but for all time. Taiva becomes the cause of not only that kind of a sin, but every aver in the Torah. When it's apt to lose control and be over all aver should be Torah. Miloshin the Pasuk, Yizgalo, it's with an ayin, but it is similar, we find it. Another Pasuk in Mishle, it says, V'chol evil Yizgalo. It means all evil will be revealed. Another time the word Yizgalo is mentioned. The point is, Rabbi Yehuda says again, so one of the very main things, now, to control taiva, therefore, is an obligation of each and every person. But all the more so, the Shari Tshuva is putting it here in Shari Tshuva as a principle in Tshuva. Especially a person who already sinned in the past. And now he is a Baal Tshuva. Being that he is a Baal Tshuva, it behooves him all the more. There's this extra machayev, a separate machayev. Because the root of his problem, in the first place, if you're becoming a Baal Tshuva, you don't just treat the symptom. If you're becoming a Baal Tshuva, to become a real Baal Tshuva, and therefore hopefully not to repeat the same lifestyle, is therefore to uproot the first cause, to uproot the Shayrish. What is the first cause? The first cause most likely was the area of taiva. And therefore, if you don't have control of taiva, then there is not much that restraint within your ability to hold back. And therefore it is extra special important for the Baal Tshuva to recognize this, to really work on self-control in his lifestyle. Not to fall prey, not to succumb to everything that he wants and he desires. Then he goes on further. Sif Lamed Beis. V'oy Tim Tzaloi, he says, Toyelis, another benefit. He says, from this practice, a person who works on himself, a person who works on himself to refine himself, again, controlling desire, V'oy Tim Tzaloi Toyelis, another Toyelis, another benefit. B'shovroi, to break Hatava Hagashimis. To break the Tava Hagashimis, he says. An interesting thing he says here. By the way, Tava Gashmis, we're talking about not only Taiva Shalisser, let's remember. Taiva Shalisser is partial that a person is not allowed to succumb to Isser. We're talking about not indulging, as he pointed out in the previous year. Rabbi Yoy is talking about a person should live a lifestyle where he does not allow himself everything just because he wants it. You should exercise, live a life of self-control, which means even things that are mutter. As he pointed out, this is really what Ramban says in Parshas Kedoshim. What's Kedoshim to you mean? What's being holy? What's the mitzvah of Kedoshim to you telling us? To tell us not to do things that are forbidden, you don't need a posse Kedoshim to you. These things are forbidden anyway, because the Torah asked them with various lavim and so on. Kedoshim to you means not to be a novel b'rishus ha-Torah. Because technically, you can do everything by the book and yet be a manuvel. Your lifestyle is a very lowly lifestyle. Even though I cannot cite chapter and verse, where do you exactly went wrong? But the idea is that fact alone, that a person lives a loose lifestyle where he indulges fully, allowing himself to succumb to his life of desire, that itself is a steer, is a contradiction to living a life of holiness, of Kedoshim to you. So, if a person therefore works on himself, to refine himself, to exercise self-control, even in the world of heter, things that are mutter, even the world of mutter, but he exercises life. As Benny pointed out this, it doesn't mean that a person has to eat 3 plates of food, he says. You have to eat, you have to be satisfied, you have to eat for your health, and so on and so forth. People take this idea, it's certainly they eat in different ways also, which we know even the physical world is very detrimental in terms of how people live their lifestyles in the world of eating, which is contrary to their health. It's simply because they can't control their desire. Now, it's a tremendous avodah. It's something that you have to work on. It doesn't come easy. It's seichel. First of all, you have to make up your mind that this is, you understand it first to be beneficial. After you understand intellectually that's beneficial, now comes the hard part, actually, to implement what you believe to be true, right, to implement your lifestyle. I mean, people have addictions, by the way. I said many times, and there's articles written by that, for people, let's say, who have, unfortunately, who have attracted, let's say, lung cancer because of smoking. Some people, even when they know it already, they can't stop smoking. Now, they know clearly that it's killing them, that they can't stop smoking. So intellectually, they know they're doing something wrong, or even prior to that. They know intellectually. It's not that they're disagreeing with the facts, but yet they don't have, they're too weak, they don't have the ability to do it. Does it mean that they don't really have the ability, or does it mean they don't find enough strength to work at it? They don't feel that it's kedai, that it's worth it to put in all the effort. And maybe if they would have, they would have been successful. But they're not ready to make that commitment. They're not ready. You know, many times a person says, I can't. It doesn't mean I can't. I can't means it's too much for me to do. So he says, I can't. You could do it. You could. I can't really means, in other words, I really don't want to. Many times. But it's easier to say, I can't. But I don't want to. What do you mean I don't want to? I should be doing it. But I can't. Can't really means many, many times that you really don't want to. That's what I can't means. Ben Yoni says, if a person exercises his restraint from taiva in the area where it is mutter, where technically things are mutter, kosher food, right? But doesn't mean that, so eat everything that your eyes behold. So if a person controls taiva in the area of heter, so now when the Yetzer Hara comes over to him to try to entice him in the areas of iser, he'll have a response. It's an intellectual response, so to speak. He says to himself, he says, if I am able to restrain myself from taiva when it comes to something that's mutter, so all the more so, I should be controlling my taiva from something that's osir. After all, I'm going beyond the letter of the law. I'm already controlling my taiva in the area of mutter. So now when the Yetzer Hara tries to entice him in the area of iser, he'll say to himself, how can I allow myself to succumb to the Yetzer Hara in the area of iser if I already have succeeded so much? If I already have succeeded so much, I was successful in controlling taiva in the area of heter, so certainly I'm not going to allow myself. In other words, he'll feel too cheap to allow himself to fall to the praise of the Yetzer Hara. Because he says he even was successful in so many cases to abstain from things that are really mutter, from overly indulging. So now when the Yetzer Hara comes to entice him to an area of iser, he'll have, so to speak, the answer. How can I allow myself to succumb to the Yetzer Hara in the area when something's prohibited if I already am successful even in something that's mutter? And I've abstained from something that's mutter, certainly all the more I should abstain from something that is osir. This is the lotion. This is what the Shari Tshuva is saying. Let's see it inside. Voitim to a tayelis, another tayelis of benefit. He says, Bishovroi hataiva hagashimis. When a person is successful in breaking his taiva hagashimis, kim tisholenu tavosoi. Because when his taiva will request from him, devar bilial va'avera, if he finds himself confronted where his taiva is now challenging him to do something that's evil, something which is an avera, yedaber aliboy, he will now be able to answer his conscience. He'll have an answer. What will he say? In order to refute the Yetzer, he will make a kal v'chomer. He'll say, hein beheter lo yamal tavosi, being that I don't even allow my taiva, right, to control me in the area of something is mutter, the eich eshlach yodi b'iser. It's very interesting, as the Baal Musa pointed out, many times the fight of the Yetzer Hara is not always with frumah cheshbonis. Sometimes you need simple logic. And sometimes you have to talk to him some logic, which he says to himself, how can I fall so low, he'll say to himself, intellectually, that if in the area of heter, which technically is mutter, and I have been successful to control my life in the areas of heter, will I fall so far behind all of a sudden? When it comes to iser, here I will not control my taiva. I've been even controlling in the area of heter. Sometimes this is the nekuda that appeals to a person. You never know exactly what is the motivation which will bring a person to do the right thing. There are many avenues, and therefore sometimes there's a simple area of a little bit of logic that a person may say to himself, and again, if he is honest with himself, intellectually honest, this may have a positive effect, allowing him and giving him the strength to abstain. Because he says, I'm abstaining from pleasure of heter, so certainly in the area of iser, certainly I should be able to control myself. And then he goes on further, in Lamed Gimel, Sif Lamed Gimel. Voidi says, Timtza b'shviris ha'tayve toyeles rabo v'atzuma. Look at his lotion. He says, you will find in the area of breaking taiva, you'll find the toyelis rabba vatsuma, you'll find a tremendous benefit. Look at the phrasing that he's using. Toyelis rabba vatsuma. By the way, I want to make a point. You notice in the first few words in the previous sif, Lamed Beis, just remember the opening words that he said. He says, "Bishovroi hataiva hagashmius." You notice, Rabbi Yoine, and I think we made that point already last week. Rabbi Yoine is not telling a person to uproot the inyan of taiva. Taiva desire is something that is very necessary, but for the right things. A person has to have taiva. A person has to have desire. You have desire to do chesed. You have desire limurat Torah. You have to have desire for avodas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person with a midah, with the natural trait of having desire. So that's a natural trait to have desire. So we're not asking a person to try to uproot the whole concept of desire, to live, to be a person without desire. You should have desire. Desire is a very strong motivating factor. But the point is, desire for what? That's why the Lashon of Rabbeinu Yonah is in Shaarei Teshuva. Therefore he says there, Bishovroi taiva gashmis. That's what we're asking to break. We're only asking to break gashmis the getaiva. But Ruchni is the getaiva, all the more the better. You need it. It's important. You need the important feeling, the drive to aspire, to grow, and to have aliyahs in your avodas Hashem. You need that kind of a taiva. The question is, where are you going to use your taiva? That's why he's telling you to break the taiva gashmis. So there he goes on now. We go back to Lama Gimel further. Voitimtso, he says, you're going to find Bishviras HaTaiva Toyelis Rabba Vatsuma. You're going to find a tremendous Toyelis, tremendous benefit. And that is, he says, Ki Yigala Betzedek Liboy V'Tuv Cheftso L'Tshuva. The truth is, if you want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person is doing Tshuva, and you really want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that your heart is in the right place, the best way that a person demonstrates that his heart is in the right place, by giving over his desires really to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki yigala betzedek, by controlling again his life of physical pleasure, by controlling it, again it should be in control, it shouldn't dominate him, he should dominate it. Thereby, when a person succeeds in doing that, ki yigala betzedek liboy, then he's revealing the righteousness within his heart, v'tuv chevtzo l'tshuva. He's really showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu his real want of doing tshuva. Why? Ki hu moyes hateva asher gorem l'yachet. Because again, controlling taiva, he's showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm distancing myself from what brought me to the area of sin in the first place. The best way of showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are abhorring, that you're rejecting your life of sin, the best way of showing it is by showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are abstaining from what brought it in the first place. What was the cause to begin with? So thereby, by controlling taiva, you're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are a moyes hateva, that you're rejecting that nature, that original nature. And the consequences is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now receives you in open arms. Which means, ubezeh yisratzel Hashem yisborach v'yimtzochein be'inov. This brings you to a point where you're going to find favor in the eyes of Hashem, which, by the way, that is really the ultimate tachlis in tshuva. The ultimate tachlis in tshuva, we say, remember the Lashon Gemara, and sometimes you don't understand it because there's so many different perushim what it means. But we heard it many, many times. Gemara talks about the milos of tshuva, one of the memories that the Gemara says regarding. One of the expressions the Gemara talks about, the greatness of tshuva, the Gemara says, Gedoy l'tshuva, shemagas at kisei hakovet. Tshuva is so great that it reaches all the way to the Kisei HaKovod, up to the heavenly throne. Now what does it mean? Tshuva goes up to the heavenly throne. Many different interpretations of what that means. In context of what the Shaar Tshuva is saying here, what it means is, because the truth is, there are two kinds of tshuvas, and the Shaar Tshuva, by the way, talks about it in another place. Yeah, you can imagine it in your own life. Many times you have two people, basically, that they were enemies. Each one did wrong by the other, and therefore, they lived apart. They certainly didn't socialize, they had nothing good to say one about the other and so on. Finally, you know, they decided to make peace with one another. But it's sort of like a cold peace. What does it mean, make peace? You know what? We're not going to fight each other. We're going to live in peace. It means we're going to say good morning, good evening. But you know what? But doesn't mean I want to socialize with you. Before we were enemies, you know what? Now we're not enemies. If I make a simcha, it doesn't mean I send you an invitation. I don't want you at my tzimcha. Doesn't mean that. We're not enemies, but we're not friends either. You know, we're going to live side by side, civilized. That's one. The ultimate, of course, is when two enemies not only are able to coexist, stop fighting, and even stop hating, the ultimate is that they actually become true friends with one another. They begin to love one another. One invites the other. He makes a simcha, he's invited. The other makes a simcha, he's invited. That's the ultimate. In tshuva also, there are two levels. There's a level of tshuva where a person does tshuva, so Kosh Baruch says, you know what, okay, I erase your slate clean. You know, no punishment. You did tshuva, you really repented. But the quality of tshuva is not the kind that Kosh Baruch says, I really want to befriend you, in a certain sense. That I really want to have a relationship with you. You know what? No punishment. No, you did tshuva. But it's a lower level of a tshuva. There's a higher level of a tshuva. A higher level of a tshuva where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you won my heart, as it were. We're using figurative speech. You won my heart, as it were. And now I accept you with open arms to become close to me. And thereby, now he finds favor in the eyes of Hashem. That level of tshuva is Gedol L'tshuva Shemegas at Kisa HaKovod. It's not just a tshuva you're not going to be punished, no Gehenna for you, and so on and so forth. It's a tshuva that reaches the Kisa HaKovod, which means that you connect with Hashem Mamish. Because Baruch says, I want to befriend you. We have something in common. I want to bring you close to me. And you're going to have this chus to bask in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yonah says, you know when that could happen? If a person gives his world of taiva desire, he gives it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's showing that I'm uprooting what brought me to sin in the first place, because then taiva had control over me. But if you are able to have control over your taiva, you are putting yourself in a position that, again, you're going to be accepted and received by Hashem. And he goes on to show you a posting in Tehillim, which makes that point. Posting in Tehillim says, Zivche Elohim Ruach Nishboro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's true carbon, the true sacrifice it can bring to Hashem. Sacrificing an animal is one type of a carbon. That's not the main thing at all. Zivche Elohim, the true carbon is Ruach Nishboro. It comes with a broken spirit. A person has remorse. A person really regrets it. Lev Nishbor Venitke. A person who has the Lev Nishbor, the broken heart, Venitke, Pasuk already we had quite a number of times before. We're not unfamiliar with this Pasuk. Venitke means a humble heart. A humble heart, Elohim Leisivze. Hashem will not shame that. He accepts that token. A person comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person comes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a broken heart. He's received by Hashem. As one of the great Rebbes of Chassidus said, there's nothing so complete as a broken heart. A broken heart can repair, he says, nothing can really come to that point. That is the hachnoah, that is being humble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, nothing is really as complete as a broken heart is. Leiv nishbar v'nitka l'kim l'sivze. So now he goes on to explain. You see, the Pasuk gives us a number of items. The Pasuk gives a number of items. Ruach nishbara, it talks about broken spirit. That's one phrase. Leiv nishbar, broken heart. What are the differences between the two? What's the difference between Ruach Nishboro, broken spirit, as opposed to broken heart? Says the Shaar Tshuva as follows. Ruach Nishboro, when we talk about Ruach Nishboro, we talk about broken spirit. Broken spirit means a person is humble. That's a phrase, that's a metaphor. Broken spirit means that a person stands humbly before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Hiho Ruach HaNemoicho V'HaNichna'as. That's what Ruach Nishboro means. Right, but stand humble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Leiv Nishbor mean? In our context, you talk about a broken heart. You know, in the colloquial language, a broken heart, you know, if you hurt somebody, right? You hurt somebody, you broke my heart, you say. But biblically speaking, right, from the Pasuk, Ben Yonah has another interpretation. You know what Leiv Nishbor means? Here it means something else. It doesn't mean like the broken heart, a person that was hurt. Maybe you embarrassed him, you shamed him, you disappointed somebody. You say, you broke my heart. When it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives the broken heart, in our context, Shaar Tshuva suggests broken heart means breaking taiva, breaking desire. Because you realize, by the way, the lev is symbolic, is the seat of the desire. Do not follow your eyes, nor your heart. What does Rashi say in Chumash? Ayin roya, the eye sees, v'halev choymed. It's the heart that desires. The eye has to see it, and the heart then desires. So the lev is the seat of the chemda. The lev is the seat of the desire. Well, if the lev is the shayrish, is the root of desire, so if I talk about broken heart, what am I saying? Break the root of desire. Because lev chaymet. If lev is chaymet, the Torah tells you, don't follow the desire, everything that your heart desires. So if lev is the mokim, right, is the mokim of chemda, is the mokim of desire, so what does the lev nishbar mean, breaking the lev? So says Rabbeinu Yonah, let's take a look. The lev nishbar, he says, al shviras ha-taive. Yeah, new interpretation, the words lev nishbar, that's not the usual understanding of the words lev nishbar. Shari Tshuva tells us, very fascinating, lev nishbar, when it says lev nishbar, lekim leisiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not shame, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not turn away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not turn away, he will receive. A lev nishbar always makes its way, hits the target. What does it mean a lev nishbar hits the target? It means shviras ha-taive ha-gashmis. Ki ha-taive nesuna b'lev, as he points out. Because taive is where? The seat of taive, the root of taive is in the heart. K'mon shenemar, there's a posik, and the posik is in Tehillim, and thereby, look at the expression of the posik. The posik says there, tavas liboy nosato loy. You have given him the taive, the desires of his heart. By the way, even in English, don't we say it? You can have whatever your heart desires. So even we say it that way. So that's what the post says. So it's not for naught. Where does it come from? Whatever your heart desires. Heart desires. Your mind desires. Your IC. There's something said about the heart. Your heart desires. Tavas liboy. Right? His heart's desire. You have granted me, you have granted him, says the posik, his heart's desire. Nosataloi. What we're using the posik is merely to show the relationship between taiv and lev. Tavas liboy. Well, if we see that taiv is related to the lev, so when the posik says lev nishbar, because Baruch Hu does not reject the lev nishbar, what does it mean? Lev nishbar means a broken heart means, what does it mean? It means broken taiv, having control over your taiv. And by the way, that posik that he just quoted, the posik that we quoted, that's really Nun Aleph, which is the first posik that we're talking about, lev nishbar. That posik is Kapitel Nun Aleph. You know what the context of that whole Kapitel is? That chapter talks about David HaMelech doing tshuva. When Nosan Hanovi comes to him, Kasher Boel Basheva. So what's that mizmor? What's the tachlis of that mizmor? The tachlis of that mizmor, the tachlis, the purpose of that Kapitel in Tehillim is talking about tshuva. So if you find this particular phrasing, Leiv Nishbar V'nitke L'kim Lo'isiv, that means that this is imperative in the role of tshuva. Because it's mentioned in the mizmor that deals with tshuva. So if this prosek is mentioned in the mizmor of tshuva, it means these are the things you have to work on to refine these areas. Humble spirit, right, ruach nemucha, and also lev nishbor. V'mizmor ha-tshuva nemar ha-mikrozeh. Shari Tshuva is quick to add. This prosek that we're talking about is mentioned in the mizmor, right, that deals with tshuva. And therefore, u'ba'omroi lev nishbor v'nitke l'kim l'sivzeh. When the Potik says the Kodesh Baruch Hu does not reject a broken heart and a humble heart, L'madum Wazeh, what we learn from that is that Ki Bala Tshuva Misratze El Hashem Bishviras Atay Vagashmis, that a Bala Tshuva really becomes accepted to a Kodesh Baruch Hu through Shviras Atay Vagashmis. You want to be accepted by Kodesh Baruch Hu? Have control over your physical desires. You cannot say it enough. You see how much he's repeating it. V'chizeh Mi'ikre HaTshuva. Therefore, this principle is one of the mainstays, one of the main principles of tshuva. And one more thing, he just merely brings another posik, he says, V'oid nemar binyan ha-tshuva. We also find, regarding in the area of tshuva, we find the posik in Yeshaya, quite a well-known posik. The posik says there, L'hachyois lei ruach shefolim, u'lahachyois leiv nitkoim. It means, L'hachyois ruach shefolim. First, let's translate it literally. The Pasuk said, L'hachyois ruach shefolim. Because Baruch Hu revives the spirit of the lowly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revives them. People are downfallen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uplifts them. L'hachyois ruach shefolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revives the spirit of the lowly. What else? Well, L'hachyois leiv nitkoim. And he revives the heart of the despondent. That's the simple translation. L'hachyois ruach shefolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revives the spirit of the lowly. What else does he do? U'lahachyois leiv nitkoim. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu revives the heart, as we say, of the downtrodden, of the despondent people. In context of what we're talking about, why is he bringing this posik? Because Ruach Shefalim is talking about Hachnoah. That's the Nitke. We're talking about Lev Nishbar v'Nitke, yeah? Nitke means the people that are humble. That's called a Hachyosh Ruach Shefalim, those people that are humble. Lev Nitkoim is going on people of Shviris HaTaiva. Lev Nitkoim, remember, you made the point before saying, what does Lev refer to? Lev refers to Taiva. What does Lev Nishbar mean? What does a broken Lev mean? Broken Lev means a person who succeeded in breaking his Taiva. Lahachio is when the positive says Lev Nitkoim means that Kodesh Baruch Hu will revive those who have given so much. What have they given? They've given up Taiva. That's called Lahachio is Lev Nitkoim. In order to revive the spirit of the Nitkoim. So we find out, as we see here, quite fascinating things. And we're going to stop for the moment here because Rabbi Yoni still has one more sif to conclude to talk about that. We talk about the Ruach Shefolim. Lahachio is Ruach Shefolim, to revive the spirit of the Shefolim. It's just interesting to point out that there was a Odom Godel Meyoid by the name of, known as Rabbi Abishal Frankfurter. Rabbi Abishal Frankfurter was a Rav in Frankfurt in the 1700s, many centuries ago, over 200 years ago, and he actually passed away in the year of 1769. Rabbi Abishal Frankfurter was a tremendous tzaddik. He was the Talmud of Rabbi Naftali Katz, who was known as the Baal Smichas Chachomim. He was also Talmud of the Mechaber of the Sefer Beis Shmuel on Eben Ezer. The side, of course, when you open up in Eben Ezer, you have the Chelkis Mechaikik on one side, and you have the Beis Shmuel on the other side. He was a Talmud of the Beis Shmuel. He was a tremendous tzaddik, he was a tremendous goyim. As a matter of fact, all the great Gedoy Lador really consider him really to be very, very unique, to be very special. It is said that the Baal Shem Tov himself, Baal Shem Tov who knew the Shoyrish Nishome, of people. The Baal Shem Tov said about Rabbi Abishal Frankfurter, he said about him that Nehirin loy shvile de rekiyak and shvile de Frankfurt, which means that he has knowledge what's happening in the upper worlds the same way like he knows the streets of Frankfurt. Something like the Gemara says about Shmuel, Nehirin loy shvile de rekiyak and shvile de nahardoy. Shmuel says that I know what's going, Shmuel's a big book in astronomy. He says, I know everything about the constellations. You know, so much what there is to know. I'm so acquainted and so familiar with what's doing in Shemayim, as I'm familiar with the streets of Nahardoa. Baal Shem Tov said that about Rabbi Abishal, that he knows what's doing in Shemayim, in the upper worlds, in the same way that he knows he's familiar with the streets of Frankfurt. It is interesting to point out, also, he was a tremendous Baal Machnes Oirech. He always had guests and guests at his table. And he said that he would not allow, he says, any money to remain overnight in his pocket. Now, there's everything he would distribute to tzedakah. Of Yiddish, you say, Nisht ibenechting aprita, you know, overnight. Nishlozen ibenechting aprita. Certain batchen said, Bederach Letzonis, he says, I also, Ichlonish ibenechting aprita, Chlai the Gansigal Shoin in the bank, Seplapnish ibenechting bamiyat. Puts it right away in the bank, he says. But at Kaponim, this was the thing. Any money that he had, he made sure to see to it that the Anim have it. Extremely, and they used to say, his name was Avrom, Avrom Abish. So he had the midah of Avrom Avinu when it came to Chnosis Orchim. So he actually had that midah of Chnosis Orchim. He became, by the way, the successor in Frankfurt. He was Mamalamokim, the Pnei Shua. Pnei Shua was Nifter. After the Pnei Shua in Frankfurt, who was the Mamalamokim? Was Rabbi Abishal Frankfurter. And the tremendous honor, I mentioned about Ruach Shefolim, just to talk about the tremendous anivis of some great people. We see the greater they were, at the same time how humble they were. This is something that runs characteristic through all the great people. All the great sages, all the great Talmid HaChachomim, all the great, the truly great Rabbonim. You see how different they are. They shied away from COVID, they always ran away from honor. They say about Rabbi Abishal Frankfurter, they say that when he became Rav, accepted as the Rav in Frankfurt and the day of installation, so they came to be Mekabel Ponim him with a, literally like with royal chariots to bring the new rabbi, to bring the new Rav, to bring him into Frankfurt. And as such, he says, hundreds of people, of course, came to be the escort of the wagon that was carrying the new Rav. And he realized that what's happened. He says, and in addition to that, they really wanted to give extra cover to the new Rav. So when, after a while, when the Rav was sitting in the carriage, which was horse-drawn, the people just wanted to do even more for the Rav. What they did is they unhitched the horses, and they themselves began physically pulling the wagon to show that they want to do their utmost kovet. They didn't want the horses to pull the rabbi. They themselves wanted to schlep the wagon. They wanted to put their own effort. They wanted to have the kovet of being the one of pulling the royal chariot. He was sitting there and he noticed it, that people, just like him, it's not horses this time pulling the chariot, it's other people. So in the multitude and the excitement, he just opened the door, he slipped out, and he also began pulling the wagon together with the other people until they realized that the chariot was empty. He was out of there. And he was pulling it together with them. The idea is he did not for one moment feel that he should be the heir of superiority. He's sitting in the chariot and people, other human beings, are pulling his carriage, you know, which some that horses should be doing. He said that was not right. That was, and of course, they met Kovod HaTorah. But he was not one that was ready to accept it. That was the godless of Rabbi Abishol Frankfurter. Anyway, they say that when he got up to the bima in order to give like his first drosha, so they say about him is he basically says he has three questions to ask. He said he has three questions to ask. He has three questions. He says one question he says on himself. Question number two he has on the city of Frankfurt, and the third question he has on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says question number one he says he has upon himself, and that is how did he allow himself to have, in his words, the audacity to accept the rabbinical position that to be a successor of such great Ga'onim and Gedolim before him, how does he really have, he said, this, yes, chutzpah, to really take on and become a mamalamokim such great people? He says, that's a kashi, he says, that really is waiting to be answered. How did I allow myself to accept, to become Rav in Frankfurt, and be a successor to such great people before me? How do I come to follow even in the first steps? That's question number one. By the way, in Frankfurt, in addition to the Pnei Yeshua, the Shlach Kodesh was Rav in Frankfurt. Shlach Kodesh was Rav in Frankfurt prior, even before the Pnei, way before. It was Rav in Frankfurt, talking about the 1600s. He was also Rav in Prague, the Shlach Kodesh. Also one of the great Goyim called the Baal Birchis HaZevach, name of one of the Mechabrim, Sefer HaKodeshim. He was also a Rav in Frankfurt. So he says, the second question I have is on the people, on the members of the town of Frankfurt. He says, why did you find it appropriate to elect me as a Rav in a place where the Shlach HaKodesh and the Pnei Yeshua and such greats were Rabbonim here before? So I have a question on myself, how did I accept it? Question against the Kehila, how did you allow it? And the third question he says is, I have a Kasha and a Kodesh Baruch. Kodesh Baruch is Mezavik Zavukim. How did he make the Shidduch between me and Frankfurt? He said, how did he allow such a Shidduch to take place? So again, these are the great people. And of course, as we know, you never lose out. Because the more humble they were, obviously it didn't work, because people really sense true humility. And the greater the Onav, of course, Klal Yisrael has a good nose. They give kavod, they know to whom to give kavod to. And all the great people that we've had in our history certainly deserve the kavod HaTorah by the right people. Unless, of course, you had certain people, always Bala Machlekes, who always caused trouble. But Kolabreich Min HaKavod, it says the person who runs away from kavod, that the kavod will run after him. If you try to pursue kavod, the kavod, just the other way, evades you. That is one of the fundamental principles that we have, the Mishnah says in Sechtes Ovis. So Kaponim, so here we are here in the Shaar Tshuva, talking about the two fundamental things which Kodesh Baruch will definitely accept, Kodesh Baruch definitely accept and will not reject, and that is the Lev Nishbar V'Nitke. A Lev Nishbar, which means the person who controls his desires, and the other thing is the Lev Nitke, a life of humility and unease.